Well, my goodness, it's that hamster in that little wire wheel behind the mixer board has definitely been getting into the drinking game here. Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show, and we had a bit of a goof with the computerized show playing system. Gosh darn that Vista! And this is our Thursday show, and it is June 7th, 2012 here. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to have Ron Kukal, the chaplain from the USS Liberty, is going to be joining us in the third hour. I know we've got some other people who are trying to call in about the Liberty all during the day. Our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. And before we get into the serious news, if you're living in Colorado, bundle up warm. It is hailing and snowing. The snow plows are out in Colorado. This is June 7th, and the snow plows are out. They're reporting up to 8 inches of snow in some parts of the state in June. And, of course, the carbon Nazis are out there saying, no, no, that's not snow. It's white, lumpy rain. We've got carbon dioxide and global warming, and you got to give us all your carbon tax money. And, you know, it is rather amazing that as it becomes more obvious that we are, in fact, heading into a new little ice age, the global warming cult is still out there saying, yes, carbon is bad. We've got to tax you and control you and tell you how to live your lives. No, you don't. You've got to mind your own business is what you got to do here. Now, yesterday we had, as you're probably aware, this interview with Richard Larry Weaver and the aftermath of it, the response. We just got tons and tons of email and messages about how his relating the story of what it was like to be on the Liberty under the attack, and then afterwards the outright betrayal and treason by the U.S. government. And I know for me personally, a big part of that was this idea that Admiral Kidd couldn't even be bothered to go up to his hospital room, to Richard's hospital room, where he's recovering from one of the surgeries, trying to recover from the wounds that he got during Israel's attack. The admiral couldn't be bothered to, like, walk up a couple of flights of stairs and, like, go into this guy's room. No, they took him out of his hospital bed, put him in a wheelchair with the little glass bottles dangling down, and wheeled him down for the convenience of the admiral, who then proceeded to threaten him to never talk about Israel's attack on the USS Liberty. They'd lock him up and throw away the key. Like, he hasn't already been through enough. Okay? And I think when we talk about the top brass in the military, we ought to get rid of those stars that they put on the collars and stuff, and instead just give them a solid gold male genitalia. And the higher in rank they go, the bigger they make it, because that seems to be the way they're behaving. And for those of us who were raised to think about honor in the military, well, I guess we can let that one go away, because it isn't. And I think the top military brass have the same attitude toward the ordinary sailors and soldiers and airmen that Henry Kissinger does. They're just dumb, stupid pawns to be used for foreign policy and spent like water. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, we're having fun here. We're dealing with technical challenges and stuff. But the good news is you don't have to listen to a commercial here. We're going to go right on through the first break here. Now, interestingly enough, last night I got this inspiration and I got out the old Photoshop and I put together this graphic. It's currently at the top of the whatreallyhappened.com webpage, and the hate mail about it is already pouring in. But for those of you who haven't been to the website, I want to share it with you. It's basically a bunch of photos of very famous and not so famous U.S. Navy ships. And the text on it reads, USS Monitor, lost during storm due to non-seaworthy design, honored and remembered. USS Maine, destroyed by magazine fire, honored and remembered. USS Arizona, lost to Japanese attack, honored and remembered. USS Indianapolis, lost to Japanese attack, crew eaten by sharks, honored and remembered. USS Thresher, destroyed by welding failure, honored and remembered. USS Scorpion, destroyed by faulty torpedo battery, honored and remembered. USS Liberty, successfully repelled sneak attack by Israel, scrapped and forgotten. And there has to be a big, huge question mark over that. Is our entire culture based on the veneration and enshrinement of failure? Because you have all these ships that were destroyed, and we're supposed to remember them, remember the Maine, remember the Arizona, remember all these horrific things. And then you have the USS Liberty, which was the victim of a sneak attack by Israel. No less sneaky than, in fact, with even less warning than the commanders at Pearl Harbor had regarding the Japanese attack. And the Liberty defended itself, held it off, repelled it, stayed afloat, and it's treated like an object of shame by the Navy. And so I think there's an important question we need to ask here. Does the Navy worship failure and disaster? And why are they so ashamed of what is clearly a military victory? When planes and boats from a foreign government attack a U.S. Navy ship and it succeeds in defending itself and staying afloat, why are they so ashamed of that? And this gets us back to the story of Captain McGonagall, who was wounded in the line of duty, stayed on the bridge, saved his crew, saved his ship, was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, which was awarded to him in private in a ceremony at a Navy yard by the commander of the yard. And that is the only time in the history of the United States of America that the Congressional Medal of Honor has been awarded other than in the White House by the president. Every other Congressional Medal of Honor given is always awarded by the President of the United States in a ceremony at the White House. But not McGonagall, the commander of the USS Liberty. We're just going to do it over there in this little Navy yard and hope that nobody will notice. The U.S. Navy is ashamed of victory and honors and enshrines and memorializes disaster and failure. I think that betrays a fatal flaw within the mindset of our Navy commanders, and indeed the entire Pentagon. They thrive on carnage and chaos and blood and really just don't really care if you succeed, if you win your battles. Yes, that's just the expected outcome. You go out and do it again. Anyway, we'll be talking about that a lot more later in the show. Now, yesterday, we didn't get to this, but obviously it was big news. A large section of dock washed up on the Oregon coast had a little plaque on it with Japanese writing. This thing is 7 feet tall, 66 feet long, 19 feet wide. Huge piece of debris. The very first stories coming out say nobody's really sure where it came from. Which is, okay, it's, you know, floating in the ocean. It's got Japanese writing on it. I think it's probably a good bet it came from Japan. Now, of course, they're acknowledging, yeah, this is tsunami debris. And it's washing up on the west coast of the United States of America. Nobody, as far as I know, has checked to see if this is carrying any radioactivity with it. It's one of those questions nobody wants asked or answered. They have issued a warning, though, for people not to climb on this thing, and I expect they'll probably find some way to demolish it very quickly. But if you live in that part of Oregon, and you have a radiation meter, and they haven't already taken that dock back out to sea or buried it or something like that, go on down and wave a radiation meter at it and see if some of this stuff that's washing up on the coastline is radioactive. I know they're getting a lot of debris up on the coast of Alaska. We're expecting it to start showing up on the beaches here in Hawaii in the next couple of months. Or originally they said it was going to be next year. Now they're saying it's a lot further than they thought. Obviously, Oregon is a lot further from Japan than Hawaii is. We know that there's debris directly due north of us, so it's just a matter of time before it starts showing up on the beaches. Again, Memorial Day weekend out on Kauai. My wife and I did spend some time just sort of walking, driving around the beaches, looking for debris. We did not identify any, but it's just a matter of time at this point. Meanwhile, there are still reports coming out that Fukushima Daiichi is not stable, not under control, that the situation is deteriorating, and the government of Japan and TEPCO and the government of the United States are trying to pretend it's not a problem. Just like they tried to pretend the Gulf oil disaster was not a problem. Because here's a reality of government in the modern world. It's all based on illusion and make-believe and pretend. The government is always able to deal with a crisis of its own making. The war on terror, the war on carbon dioxide, the war on all the rest of this stuff. But when a real disaster happens, they just look the other way and act like it's not a big deal. Didn't do anything about the Gulf of Mexico. Didn't do anything about the tsunami debris. Just say, pay no attention to that. We've got celebrity news for you over there on the corporate media here. Now, obviously, the big news continues to be the economic indicators. And I've noticed something kind of interesting about the stock market around the world over the last couple of days. We've been talking about how the plunge protection team and similar intervention groups in the other countries are basically shoving the market up, trying to keep it in the green for political reasons as a means of reassuring their population. The economy can't be all bad because the stock market is doing really good. The rich people are getting richer. Therefore, you should be happy with the dog chow you're having to eat for dinner tonight. And I noticed over the last several weeks there were signs of a growing awareness that the upshoves by the plunge protection team were an opportunity for selling. And take your profit and skedaddle. And so over the last couple of days, I've noticed a new behavior of the markets. They're opening up tremendously high. Then they just sort of trickle on down during the day, but they're still ending up in the green. So the media can say, huzzah, huzzah, the market's going up. But I think this is a new form of market rigging to try and discourage people from selling, you know, during those periodic upshoves. And we'll see what's going to go on. But very clearly, again, it doesn't look like it's normal market behavior. And again, we understand the U.S. government has been intervening in the stock market for political reasons going all the way back to the Clinton administration. They certainly, in an election year, have every motivation to continue to do so now and try and get everybody convinced that the stock market, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the money junkies gas gauge, is the only thing you should be looking at in judging whether or not the economy is working or not. Now, my wife was just mentioning the other day, because you know she's calling around to a lot of companies, a lot of people in relation to business activity, and she says it's just amazing how many companies are listed in these websites as ongoing companies with good earnings, and all of a sudden they're gone. They're just collapsing left and right all across America. So in point of fact, the economy is not recovering. Any claims of recovery are an election year illusion. And it does look like we're heading into another major downturn. Everybody's screaming, we can't, you know, we don't have liquidity. The money's going here. The money's going there. We were talking yesterday about the banks in Great Britain are sitting on billions of pounds of unacknowledged losses, which has basically prevented them from having more money to loan. And again, you can't borrow your way out of a debt crisis. Somebody somewhere is going to have to stand up and say, look, more loans are never going to fix an economy that is already strangled by debt. The governments have to start issuing their own value-based money in order to give the people the means with which to pay that debt off. That's what Kennedy tried to do. That's what Lincoln tried to do. That's what Andrew Jackson did succeed in doing. And, of course, all three of them wound up being shot at. Two of them were killed. So the money junkies love things the way they are because they're getting insanely rich and they don't care what happens to the rest of the world. They're already talking about a new round of quantitative easing, which will be all this freshly created money dumped all over Wall Street so that they can go back to playing at their little roulette wheels. And what that will mean is the money that is in your pocket will drop in value and will be, you know, your food bill is going to double, your gas bill is going to double, everything's going to go up. The money that you have is just not going to last through the month any longer. And the money junkies think that's just the way it ought to be. And unfortunately, as we look at November, our two main candidates for the president, Romney and Obama, are both very clearly pro-Wall Street, pro-big money, pro-Federal Reserve, which means neither one of them has the slightest interest in changing things for the benefit of the American people. And that's a depressing prospect. I was telling one of my friends earlier today, yeah, looking at Romney and Obama, anarchy is still looking like the best choice right now. So we're talking about the economy coming unglued, and whether you talk about it in reference to the 11th marble, or whether you talk about it in reference to liquidity crises, which are always fixed by, you know, more lending. And this is really how sick the whole system is. All this lending is money that's just created out of thin air. Yes, the system is locking up. We'll just print up all this money and loan it out, and you will own us all your future labor for generations to come. And it's a system that can't work, hasn't worked, certainly not for the people. It's the very system we fought a revolution to be free of, and it looks like, unfortunately, sadly, tragically, we're going to have to fight another revolution to be free of it again. Because the money junkies are junkies, and like any other addict, they don't care what harm their addiction brings to anybody around them. They just want that next fix, that smell of the currency that just gets them all excited, hot and bothered here. And over in Europe, they're talking about the euro's guilty men, And they're still steering Europe into an absolute catastrophe, and it's absolutely true. Because the private central banking system is a recipe for ultimate collapse, and they're going to keep it going as long as they can, because the closer they get to that collapse, the more of the real wealth of the people in the nation they will put in their pockets. And so there's no desire on the part of the money junkies to back off, to slow down, to ameliorate the damage. Like, you know, like vultures, like maggots, they thrive on carnage and destruction around them. And so it's getting ugly. And more people are coming out and saying, we're at the end game. We're at the end game. And all these claims that it can be somehow fixed, that we can somehow cure the debt crisis with more borrowing, more and more people come to understand, yeah, it just doesn't work. The IMF has finally been forced to, like, start actually auditing all the European banks, and they're going to start coming up with all of these concealed losses that Britain is now acknowledging were there, Spain is now having to acknowledge it there, and probably the same thing's going to be in Italy. It's all illusion, smoke, and mirrors, and it cannot last forever. I know that Obama wants it to last through November. That was the same gamble that George Bush did back in 2008, and I don't think it's going to work. I don't think they can hold it together from now through November. So over at the EU, Nigel Farage, I believe that's how his name is pronounced, he's been standing up there inside the European Parliament and saying it's time to break this all up and let people go back to being nations where they can have their dignity, because right now this debt crisis is destroying everybody's dignity. They're all down on the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We're seeing this incredible malaise just spread all over the world from people who've been looking for work for years and can't find it. And as another article we posted to What Really Happened indicates, they feel like their life is over. They have nothing to look forward to except endless work and endless debt and more taxes. And by the way, Spain is already saying we can fix all of the Eurozone's problems. We just have to have a unified tax policy. They want to put taxes on top of the existing taxes because, you know, the solution to all these economic problems in the eyes of the money junkies, more taxes on the people. And that's why the carbon Nazis are trying to get a global carbon tax. And they'll put a tax on that and a United Nations global government tax. Sooner or later, they're going to have to realize there is nothing left out here to tax. That wise and prudent economic management means that you make certain all levels of society have an adequate supply of currency so that they can buy and sell things and pay off debts. But if you just start screaming about more taxes and more bills and more debts and you forget about that part, that your responsibility as a social leader is to make sure the people have the means with which to pay off their debts, that is absolute formula for disaster for a nation. You've destroyed your own nation through ignorance, stupidity, and apathy. And that's where our economy has failed. The Wall Street money junkies are real big on grabbing all the money to themselves, and they forgot that part of the responsibility to sustain the economy is to make sure that that money is flowing back down to the bottom levels of the pyramid to hold the whole structure up. And nobody wanted to be bothered with that. They keep going back and worshiping on the altar of Adam Smith that said, just be personally greedy and everything will work out. And they love it because they love being personally greedy. But Nobel Prize-winning mathematician John Nash proved that Adam Smith was wrong, as is the experience we are all going through right now, that wise business leadership has to keep a view of the whole system and the whole structure in order to move forward and prosper. Henry Ford already knew that back when he was starting his car company. His philosophy was the best way to make himself prosperous was to make the community around him prosper. And it did work, and that was wise leadership and wise management, and why the American corporatocracy has forgotten that positive lesson, I don't know. But over the course of the aftermath from World War II, when Harvard Business School came up with the MBA and scientific management, and this disdain for getting your hands dirty manufacturing, we've gone down a bad path. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present-day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's Theravim.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no way.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And the corporate media seems almost obsessed with this Sandusky case. And they've picked a jury, and the jurors have conflict of interest, and it's this and it's that, and this email is allowed, and that email's not allowed. We're being conditized. We are being conditized. And if you don't know what I mean by that, back in early 2001, the U.S. government actually informed other countries around the world that in October they would be invading Afghanistan. And it was reported in Jane's Defense in March, I think. BBC covered it. Various other newspapers around the world were covering. U.S. will invade Afghanistan in October 2001. Inside the United States, of course, there was no mention that the government was getting ready to send us all off to war. The entire media was focused on Gary Condit and Chandra Levy. Did he kill her? Did he not? Did they have an affair? Yes, but did he murder her? Where are they going? And the coverage was just, it was monomaniacal, just constant news coverage. You know, breaking news, Gary Condit crossing the street here. Is he staying within the lines on the walkway? I don't know. Let's go to the sky camera and see. And it was on and on and on and on. So that when 9/11 came along, in this giant theater piece was staged to anger us all to the war in Afghanistan, it caught us all by surprise. Everybody else on the planet knew the U.S. was getting ready to go to war in Afghanistan, except the American people who were expected to pay and bleed for it. And so ever since then, I've used the term conditize to point out when the media seems to be obsessively focused on a little sexy story as a means of keeping you from looking at more important issues that really do affect your life. Because Sandusky does not affect the vast majority of the American population. Gary Condit and Chandra Levy didn't affect the vast majority of the American people. Monica Lewinsky and the stained blue dress didn't actually affect the majority of the American people. They were distractions. The wars affect us all. The economy affects us all. And that has to remain our focus. So. Now, we're still continuing to hear over in Iceland how things are doing very well over there. They basically forced accountability on their banking system. The bankers were held responsible for their criminal actions and their fraud and their corruption. Why can't we do that here in the United States of America? Is Iceland so far superior and advanced to the United States of America? I thought this was supposed to be the greatest nation on earth, and we can't even match the Icelanders? It's rather shameful. Of course, that's certainly one of the things the corporate American media is never going to mention, because they're too busy talking about Sandusky and Condit and Monica Lewinsky and their ilk and the Miss USA. Was Miss USA pageant rigged? Who cares? But that's what passes for news on the corporate media. Because they don't want you thinking about Iceland. Might give you slaves uppity ideas here. All righty. Let's see. Jim Sinclair is out there saying the end is here for the financial markets. Apparently he was a former advisor to the Hunt brothers during that whole silver spike of 1980. I remember that one. The Hunt brothers were trying to corner the market, and it got ugly for a lot of people there. By the way, little comment about Facebook. Facebook, as you know, the IPO has basically been one of the biggest flops on Wall Street since the mortgage-backed security fraud. We know that the underwriters for the IPO were trying to buy the stock to drive the price up. That didn't work. Those banks are now loaning that stock out to short sellers to cover their losses, which is basically they're saying, yeah, it's going to go down. We're waiting for the lockouts to expire, and then probably all the Facebook executives are going to unload their stock. And we go back and we look at more and more indications that Facebook was never really serious about, you know, being businesslike in what they're doing. We're now finding out that everybody over there at Facebook is making buku bucks, and not just the CEO Mark Zuckerberg, who's still a billionaire despite all the losses from the IPO, but even their interns, which everywhere else in America, intern means you're working for free. Facebook's interns are pulling down $74,000 a year. And so the money was coming in, the money is going out. It's hard to imagine where they're getting that liquidity, given how many of their major advertisers quit over recent months. But it is rather amazing how that became such this huge phenomenon and where all this money came from. It doesn't really seem that the numbers pencil out when you look at it very, very closely. In the wider view, however, it's obvious, and I've been saying this for a long time, we're in a depression. We're in a full-blown depression. Forget about recession, relaxation, you know, all these other numbers that they use. And here's something you have to pay attention to about the U.S. government and the money junkies. They'll constantly change the words for what's going on, so they're not carrying the baggage of the previous times these same things have happened. They've used words like crash, depression, correction, recession. They keep changing the words so you say, oh, it's a recession. Well, they didn't use the word depression, so I guess things aren't as bad as they were before. They're worse. They're a lot worse. But they keep changing the words. That's why you come up with quantitative easing, which is the new word for legalized counterfeiting by the banks. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with Lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The What Really Happened radio show. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And as I mentioned earlier, Colorado is just getting slammed by all this global warming. They've got eight inches of global warming on the ground right now, and the global warming plows are out trying to clear the roads as we speak here. And as if that wasn't bad enough, apparently last year Colorado made a slight error in their unemployment benefits, and they overpaid a lot of people, a total aggregate of $128 million. And now they're billing the people who are out of work to get the money back. Now you want to talk about unbridled optimism. And yes, there was an error, but it was the state's error. And we're already in a situation where quantitative easing 3 has created a situation, or quantitative easing 2 has created a situation where any government assistance isn't making it through the month anyway. You remember that little documentary we did over here about how the food stamps don't last through the entire month, and local charities and churches are coming up with food bags for the school kids, or they go that last week of the month hungry. And so Colorado thinks they're just going to be able to send out some bills and have all these citizens in Colorado pay back that $128 million overpayment from last year. I don't think they're going to get it. What's Colorado going to do to these people? Fire them? there is a certain almost sense of unreality or denial of reality in government. And maybe it's because your average government worker is making 30% more for the exact same job than their private sector counterpart. And maybe the people in government don't really want to look at how bad things are out here in the private world, because then they start losing their feelings of security. You know, we're seeing this battle start to come up between the forces of government and the forces of the private sector, in particular the unions, to try and keep a balanced economy. And unfortunately, the unions are losing because of serious vote-rigging shenanigans up there in Wisconsin. But I think it's a waste of time and effort on Colorado's part to try and get that money back. And it shows a certain lack of understanding for what the people of Colorado are having to deal with right now. And again, it is continuing this situation where all of these state budgets are in trouble because they believe the official unemployment numbers. All the pensions are empty because of Wall Street's mortgage-backed security fraud. And your state and local governments, instead of manning up and saying to Wall Street, you screwed this up, you make good on it, and saying to the federal government, we're going to go with the honest unemployment numbers. We know it's a 40% jobless rate across the country, and that's what we're going to base our tax forecasts on. That's what they should be doing, but they're not. Because everybody at the state and local government dreams of an eventual career leap to Washington, D.C., otherwise known as Sodom on the Potomac. And so they dare not speak to the marble palaces that they know we're being lied to and cheated. They're just going to turn around and say, look, I'm sorry that Wall Street screwed up your pension funds, but you're just going to have to live without your pensions. Sorry, that's just the way it must be. We've got to protect the money junkies. They're the heart and soul of the United States of America. Yada, 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 yada. All righty, we're going to talk a little bit about Israel. Actually, we're going to talk a lot about Israel. Netanyahu is still out there in his pom-poms, in his cheerleader's outfit about, you know, give me an I, give me an R, give me an A, give me an N. And people really aren't going along with that very much, and he's starting to sulk and get angry. So he's out there screaming today that the economic sanctions are not slowing Iran's nuclear program by one millimeter. Okay? And in a very twisted, ironic sense, he's actually right, because how do you slow down something that's already at a dead stop? It's not moving at all. There is no Iranian nuclear program. So, yeah, actually, the sanctions aren't having any effect on it. Personally, I think we'd be better off putting sanctions on Netanyahu's mouth and trying to slow that down, because that is clearly out of control and a danger to world peace. Now, the Obama administration is playing a two-faced game, at which they're very good at through years of practice, where here in the United States of America, in a campaign season to a war-weary public, they're trying to say, well, we're not sure about Iran. We ought to give negotiations a chance to work and not rush off to yet another war, which, of course, is not what Israel wants to be hearing. But apparently over in Israel, America's representatives are saying, no, don't worry. We're going to throw more sanctions. We're going to write bad words about them on the walls. We're going to draw mustaches on pictures of Ahmadinejad's mother, and we'll get them going. We'll get this whole thing going. We'll get the war going. We just have to somehow get it past those suckers at the voting polls. And so Obama is saying one thing to the American people and quite another thing to Israel. Rather interesting story came up there. Apparently, there was this deportation case, lady named Sandra Tamari, at Ben Gurion Airport, and the American embassy, in trying to process her through as a deportee, apparently asked if she's Jewish, which is illegal under U.S. law, because you're not supposed to ask that, and certainly you're not supposed to change how you handle the case based on the answer, because that would be racism. But apparently it is something that the State Department, in dealing with Israel, has sort of gotten into the habit of doing. Because in Israel, if you're Jewish, there's one set of rules and procedures. And if you're not Jewish, there is a really long line over there that you will go and stand in until we figure out what we're going to do with you. And so the U.S. government is starting to act more and more like Israel's government, and that is a red warning flag for all of us. And if you want further confirmation about that, House Resolution 3992. This is a bill that is headed for Obama's signature, which will allow anybody from Israel automatic entry into the United States of America, come in here, just take up residence, start businesses, no requirements. It's just an open door. Come in, set up businesses, you know, no controls whatsoever. The border is down between the U.S. and Israel. Of course, I know the border is down between the U.S. and Mexico, but that's through incompetence and apathy. In this case, it's going to be legal for Israelis to come in here and treat the United States like it's part of their country. And we know they've sort of been doing that all along, but this is going to make it legal. Meanwhile, the U.S. is out there calling for tougher sanctions on Syria. We must sanctionize those people because we haven't sanctionized them enough. We want to sanctionize them until they will be glad to go to war with us so that we can go in and take over the country. And at this point, there are two things that we need to keep in mind. First of all, apparently the United States government really does think that you are all stupid enough where you are going to fall for this same propaganda trick over and over and over and over and over and over again. They actually think you're that dumb. And the second point is, we're not that dumb. And neither is the rest of the world, which is why, of course, Russia and China are saying, all right, look, we let you do Afghanistan, and we got a good laugh out of that. We let you do Iraq, we let you do, you know, Yemen and Libya, but we have to draw a line sometime. Because America and Israel's attitude toward the rest of the Middle East is kind of like that of Chinese food. No matter how much you eat, 30 minutes later, you're hungry for another small oil nation. And it is completely out of control, and we're heading to a confrontation between the United States and Russia and China. And that is going to be a really bad time for everybody, except for Israel. I'm telling you right now, Israel loves this idea. They're going to get the U.S. and Russia and China into a mutually destructive nuclear war. Israel's going to stand off to one side laughing their heads off, knowing that when it's all over and Russia and China and the United States are just piles of ashes and radioactive debris, that Israel, with its now acknowledged by the rest of the world nuclear arsenal, is basically going to be in a position to rule the world with their Dolphin submarines and their nuclear-tipped cruise missiles. Which, by the way, reminds me, a little sore point, you know, as Germany continues to confirm that they have known all along Israel's building nuclear weapons and nuclear-armed cruise missiles. And those cruise missiles are going in those Dolphin subs that Germany's been giving to Israel. We still have that little matter of the Symington Amendment to the Foreign Appropriations Act here in the United States of America and the Glenn Act. It is illegal, has been illegal all along, for the U.S. government to take your tax money and give it to Israel. So we're all owed refunds, plus accruing interest. And every politician up to and including the presidents who signed those checks need to go to jail because they have been robbing the American people under color of the law. And in this nation, okay, Richard Nixon was wrong. It isn't legal just because the president is doing it. The U.S. government has knowingly violated its own laws to do this nudge, nudge, wink, wink, we don't see your nuclear weapons thing with Israel in order to go on taking your money and sending it to Israel. Four times the entire cost of the Apollo Moon program. And we're not getting a giant leap for mankind out of it. We're not getting Velcro out of it or microchips or any of the wonderful technological fallouts that resulted in the American economic boom of the 1970s and 1980s and 1990s. All of that came out of R&D done for Apollo. That was a good investment of the money. It got nothing to do with flags on the moon. It stimulated America's industry and technology to a degree never seen before in peacetime. And instead of reinvesting the money back into that technological boom, our government's just been giving it to Israel against U.S. law. And now they're going to have to confront that. They can't go on pretending they didn't know that Israel had nuclear weapons. Germany is now admitting they knew. Does the U.S. government want to admit Germany is smarter than the U.S. government? That Germany's intelligence agencies are much better at knowing what's going on in Israel than the CIA is? I don't think the CIA wants to admit that. So the only other possible conclusion is the U.S. government has known all along that Israel has nuclear weapons. And they take this official position of, we're not really sure, so that they can take your money and give it to their good buds over there in Israel. Which shows a certain lack of respect for the American people. When the government lies to you, takes your money, breaks its own laws to loot you for the benefit of Israel, doesn't it show a complete lack of respect by the government towards the American people? As does the vote fraud. The vote fraud is a sign of complete disregard of the people by a government. Which gets us into the situation that we're in right now. Now, not surprisingly, of course, the White House has now responded to President Assad's speech about how Syria's military were not involved in the Hula massacre. And the White House is saying, oh, he's lying. Take it from us, he's lying. He's Syrian. Syrians always lie. We're the U.S. government. We never lie. Not counting that whopper about Saddam's weapons of mass destruction. And so that's basically their only response. Anybody who says that what we're saying is not true, they're the ones who are lying. And if you refuse to believe us, the terrorists will win. That's actually a pretty lame response. We have, there are witnesses coming out of there saying that it was hired mercenaries and thugs that were in there. There were no Syrian uniformed troops who were involved with any of this stuff. And it's a pretty lame response for the White House to say, they're all lying, we're telling the truth, that's all you need to know. And again, they seem to think you're actually dumb enough that you're going to fall for that stuff. Meanwhile, the American corporate media is still cranking up that propaganda. They want to get you hating the Syrians just as much as possible here. And unfortunately, sadly, there are some online media outlets that are just hopping right on board. Huffington Post is in there just pushing this whole we've got to go into Syria thing. And, you know, Ariana, if you feel that way strongly, I mean, I will be glad to send you a copy of the official U.S. government military enlistment forms. And you can fill them out. And I actually know one of the recruiters down here at the bottom of the hill. I would be happy to take it down there and deliver it to them for you on your behalf. But we have got to start holding all these people who think war is a really good idea and say, okay, if you think it's a good idea, help yourself. Go ahead. Attack, invade all you want. But if you're going to sit here talking about how great this war is going to be and get other people's children to go over there, then shut the heck up. I'm going to go ahead, I think, and put up that link to the military enlistment form at whatreallyhappened.com. And I want you to all, it's a PDF. I want you to download it, print up copies, have them with you. And wherever you go, when you run into somebody who says, yes, we've got to invade somebody, just whip out that form and say, there you go. There's your enlistment form. Going to get you a brand new M16 rifle, brand new parachute, brand new ill-fitting BDUs, and we're going to send you over there and tell them you're coming to kick their butt all by yourself. But it is rather shameful how much of these alternative media has been co-opted now. We were seeing that even in regards to the USS Liberty, where Raw Story is attacking anybody who talks about Israel's involvement in the attack on the USS Liberty. And it's sort of revealing that the same forces that corrupted the old-fashioned corporate one-way media are very clearly at work here in the alternative media. We know that Cass Sunstein was talking about cognitive disinformation and infiltration of the alternative media, and it appears they're starting to succeed. So, anyway, now over at Press TV, they're talking about the aftermath of the Hula massacre and basically saying that what they're seeing on the ground, what they're hearing on the ground is that these massacres, all of them, are being carried out by the coup d'etat, the coup plotters, the outside overthrowers. They're basically doing to Syria what they tried to do in Iran a couple of years back. Create the illusion of a popular revolution in order to justify military intervention. And the thing is, we all know that's what's going on, and that's what's being done. And the U.S. is just going to keep on doing it and say, we know you won't do anything to stop us. I hope they're wrong, because if we don't choose to fight against these war hawks now, we will soon have no choice but to fight for these war hawks from now on. And for old people like me, okay, it's not like I have that many years left to live anyway, but what about our kids? Are we really, through our own collective cowardice, going to condemn our children to a lifetime of endless war and suffering and crippling injury and death? No parent should ever be in that position of letting their cowardice destroy their own children. We'll be right back.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And just got an email from with a press release from the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department. They have checked that dock with radiation meters, and they have found no radioactivity, or at least that's what they're telling us. So apparently that's not an issue over there. Another little story that somebody just put up there about in Texas, 300,000 eligible voters are going to be targeted in the purge. It's the day of the purges, the great American purges, like the old Soviet purges. And apparently one of the situations they have here is they have a voter purge policy that will remove eligible voters from the rolls if they fail to vote in previous elections. If they miss too many elections, they're taken off the voter rolls. Now, this is done because many people won't bother to vote if they don't feel there's somebody to vote for. But as the population gets less and less satisfied with the government, they'll get out of their homes to vote against the incumbents. So this idea of purging voters from the rolls who haven't voted recently is designed to protect the incumbents. It is not preserving the integrity of vote to remove any eligible voters from the polls at all. This is flat out voter suppression. And by the way, apparently Mitt Romney has hired a political consultant for his campaign with a prior history of disrupting and disenfranchising Democratic voters. So this 2012 election is going to shape, it's going to be dirtier than the 2000 and 2008 put together. This election is so crooked, they're having to screw those ballots into those ballot boxes here. All righty, let's see. Ted Turner is saying that we should depopulate two-thirds of the world. Well, Ted, you own these really, really tall buildings. Just take a step off of one of those, and you have made a good start. The problem I have, and I understand that there's population problems because sex is a lot more fun than dying. If we had wise leadership, they would keep the infrastructure in a condition to support the growing population, but they haven't. They took the money and they partied, and now the infrastructure is way behind and it's showing the strain. And so rather than spend the money to improve the quality of life for everybody, they're saying, we should just get some of those people out there. Let's get them to go away. Kill them off. They're useless to us. Might as well let them die. Encourage them to die, so forth and so on. And that's the thing I have against all these population control people. They always want somebody else to die or somebody else to do without children. By the way, apparently there's been an article in Time magazine that is seriously saying that really, for the sake of the economy, you know, when you have elderly parents who are on life support in the hospital, you really just pull the plug. It's a strain on the healthcare system and it's a strain on the economy, and really just pulling the plug is now the thing to do. So we're definitely getting into the situation where, yeah, if you're not able to work and provide revenue to the money junkies, they're just going to say, yeah, it's carousel. That's from Logan's Run. You may not be old enough to get the reference to that, but it was a very, very interesting movie. All right, we're going to take a station identification break here. We'll be back with hour number two of our show after these words from our, well, station identification.